Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, let's read verses 1 through 10. 11. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, or come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you on the other side, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and colt with her. Loose them, bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Zechariah, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. A very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Someone asked me recently what to read and asked me to recommend a place to read in the scriptures for their own enjoyment. And I began to think about that, and it would be always good for us to be reading in the Gospels. Always, at all times, one of the Gospels. Because these are the actual words and deeds and actions of our Lord. And no place will you be more blessed than hearing him deal with sinners and our enemies. Every page, every line is concerning him throughout the Gospels, as is the rest of the Word. Verse 1 says they drew nigh unto Jerusalem. You remember over in chapter 20, he told them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. Remember that? He prepared them. He's like Jacob, isn't he? He's taking his bride. We're going up. We're leaving here. We're going up to New Jerusalem. We go up to Jerusalem. From the cradle to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ set his face like a flint. His life, his journey was toward Jerusalem. That's where the Lord God was sending him. God the Father was sending him to Jerusalem, where he would go to the temple as Malachi promised, The Lord whom you suddenly seek shall come to his temple. But who shall abide the day of his coming? He'll be like a refiner's fire and fuller's soap. Right after this story, the Lord goes into that temple and does just that. Cleans his temple. Cleanses it. And our Lord was headed to the cross. That's why he was going to Jerusalem, where he'll be made sin for his people. This was His purpose for coming. Our Lord said, "For this cause came I into this world." And from the cross, or from the cradle to the cross, the Lord was headed to Jerusalem, but outside the camp, where all of the types and pictures tell us that He'll be crucified outside the camp, bearing our reproach, bearing our sins in His body on the tree. Christ, from the cradle to the cross, to the end of His journey, was headed toward Jerusalem to make that one sacrifice for sin forever. To put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. That's why He came the first time. The first time. And the second time, He's coming to get everyone that He bought and paid for. The first time. And He came, and once again, Dad, I turned on the radio a little late. And he was quoting Isaiah 61, which I have written down right here. "For this cause Christ came into the world, to save His people from their sin, to preach the gospel unto the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive." The Lord's going to set an ass free and her colt, her wild son. A mother and her wild son. The Lord came to set them free. The covering of sight to the blind. There's two men. People are following Him. There's two blind men following Him. The last chapter, He just saved them. And they're following Him. They're with Him now. Forever. They'll be with Him forever. Verses 2 and 3, He sent two of His disciples into a village. He said, "You shall find an ass tied, a colt with her foal. Both of them bound, captives. Loose them. Bring them to me. And if anybody say anything, if anybody try to stop you, you tell them. Don't ask them. You tell them. The Lord hath need for them, and they will let them go." He gave commandment to set them free. They have to come. He even said this morning. He said the Lord didn't give a request. It wasn't an invitation. It was a proclamation of emancipation. They've got to go for it. Two were sent. Two men were sent. This is recorded in all three of the four Gospels. Mark 11 says He sent two disciples. And they went into this village, and it says they found exactly what He said they found. It was just like the Lord said. Every single thing. The Lord ordered it. But He used these means. He used these men. Why couldn't He just tell those foal to come to Him? No. He sent these two disciples because they're a picture of how God is pleased by the foolishness of preaching to set the captives free. It was the Lord that did it. It was the Lord that did it, wasn't it? But He sent these two with a message. They're coming with us. Bringing them to the Lord. How shall they preach except they be sent? So these two were sent into a village. A little village. Not a big city. Village. And don't you know how they felt honored to do this? To do anything that the Lord told them to do. Don't you know they felt honored? Whoever the disciples were, could have been Bartholomew or Thomas and whoever, but they were sent to do what the Lord said, and they counted it a great honor. Like every single young man is called to preach, like Isaiah, he says, "Here am I, send them, send them." And what a privilege to, if the Lord use us to set one wild ass free. The Lord has a chosen people. He said, "You'll find them. You'll find them where I put them." The Lord has a chosen people. He has His elect whom He foreknew and predestinated. They're coming. They're coming. And they're all captives. Every one of God's people are held captive by the God of this world and by their flesh and by their sin. They're held captive in this world, aren't they? They cannot set themselves free. They're tied to. They're bound by their flesh. bound by ignorance and superstition, these things, darkness even as others, but God, through the preaching of the gospel, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. The prisoners are set free. The captives hear the message of the proclamation. The Master has come, and you're coming with us to Him. You shall find salvation is not by chance. Salvation is on purpose. Christ came to find His lost sheep, and it says when He finds them. And though it be mere men that He sends to preach, thanks be unto God, which always giveth us the victory. There's a colt tied up. It says in Mark's Gospel, whereon never man sat. Mark brought that out, that nobody had ever sat on this wild colt. Was he too wild to tame? Well, his mother was just like him. He said, a wild ass's colt. The Lord saved, the Lord brought this mare, is that what you call a donkey? A female? Jenny! What? Wouldn't it be wonderful if your name was Jenny here this morning? He called this Jenny and her wild foal, both of them, to himself. And I bet they were never separated from then on. The Lord's done that for some in here. Mother and her son. Wild son. Both of them lost. Both of them lost. The Lord sent the gospel to set them free. You'll find them. Wild ass's coat. He's bound. He's tied. He's captive. He's wild. Nobody's ever sat on him. Nobody can. Nobody can ride him. And they said that to the Lord. Lord, no, nobody can ride that foal. Nobody can ride that wild colt. He said, that's exactly why I'm calling him. With man, it's impossible. The Lord says, I'm going to. I'm going to ride him. He's going to look to me. He's got his head flying in every direction. But when I get hold of him, when I draw him with cords of love, the cords of a man, he's going to look to me. And I'm going to ride him. He's going to bow that stiff neck. That old bowed up rebelliousness. He's going to bow it to me. He's going to lower his once high head where it's almost dragging the ground. And I'm going to break his proud, hard heart. And he's going to come to me begging me to ride him. Won't you please reign over me? And everybody's going to see that I did this. I did this. He's not talking about a colt, is he? The Lord's talking about us. He's talking about us. Now they may have said, what if the owner won't let him go? What if we can't bring him? What if he's too? The Lord said, that's not possible. I will work, and who shall let me? If I call, they're coming. Like David and Mephibosheth. Go fetch him. Don't ask him. Pick him up and bring him. Bring him to me. And he will sin. The Lord said he will sin. Satan, our arch enemy, is no figment of anyone's imagination. He's no cunningly devised fable. He's no fairy tale. He's no allegory. He's a real enemy that we know. That we've been in the clutches of. And we're still hounded by him. All of God's people still feel assaulted very really, very really, very personally, very violently, constantly, day in and day out, assaulted by this person. Not like we could be. And his demons. Not like we could be. Bless God. But he does assault us, and we know it, and we feel it. But he takes orders from a stronger than he. I'm so thankful. Aren't you? That's why we trust in Him. That's why we look to Him. And so they did, and they did, and He did. They did what He said, and He did what He said. And everything does what He says. Everyone does what He says. This is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And everything is done, verse 4, says, to fulfill the Scriptures spoken by the prophets. All the prophets bear witness of Him. Everything is written concerning Him, and it shall be fulfilled. That's why our Lord kept saying, ought not Christ to have suffered, fulfill the Scripture. The Scriptures must be fulfilled concerning me. Everything in it must be fulfilled. Everything I say and do must stand, must happen. Everything I purpose will come to pass. It's all done to fulfill the word of the Lord, because forever, O Lord, Thy word is written in heaven, and not one word shall fail of this concerning Christ. My counsel shall stand, He says. I will do all my good pleasure. And what is the Lord's pleasure? To make you His people. To ride an old donkey's coat. We're going to see in a minute why He didn't come. Why didn't he choose a handsome horse? Why didn't He choose a noble steed? Why didn't He choose a big white stallion to bring him, to ride into town on? Why did He choose this donkey? Why did He come as He did? That's the purpose of this message. All right? Look at verse 5. He said, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh." Tell Israel, tell my people, your king. Thy king cometh. He's your king. He said, "I'm the God of Jacob. They're my people. Thy king." Although Christ is Lord over all. Although He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. To this end, Christ both died and buried and was rose again, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But tell Zion, tell Israel, tell my people, this is good news to them. It's not good news to the rest of the world. They say, we will not have this man reign over us. They say, we have no king but Caesar. But tell my people, this is good news to the oppressed. This is good news to the captive. This is good news to those slaves that are held in Egypt. Tell them, your king is coming. He's coming to get you. Tell Cinderella. He's coming to restore beauty for ashes. Why do you think that silly little story was written years ago? My father, I'm going to tell you, my father used this illustration in the message. He started out by saying, years ago there was a handsome prince. And there was a girl that he fell in love with. He set his love upon her. Well, she fell. And she fell and was back in poverty. And she left her slipper laying there. So this king searched high and low, here and there, everywhere, for the foot that this shoe would fit, that this slipper would fit. Looked at everybody and tried it on the stepsisters and so on, all the princes and princesses in the land. And it wouldn't fit anybody but one. Wouldn't fit anybody but one. And he brought out how all the prophets bear witness of one. All these types and symbols and shadows and pictures and emblems and people and things and events fit one person. And whoever that is, that's the prince. That was a good illustration. Excellent. That's what this is written for. It's all done to fulfill the Scriptures. And His good pleasure is to save sinners from their sin. Oh, tell the daughters of Zion, thy king cometh. Tell them I have set my holy king on my hill of Zion, the king of righteousness, the king of peace. He's ordered peace. King of the universe, king of kings, and Lord of lords. We don't make Him Lord. He is Lord. God hath made Him Lord. We don't let Him be king. God said, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. One time they tried to make Christ king. You remember that? They tried to make Him king. And He wouldn't let them. So He passed through them. Why wouldn't He let them crown him? Why wouldn't he let them make him king and set him on David's throne? Because he already is king. And he said he needed not that man should testify of him. He doesn't need to wear a little man-made crown. He wears a royal diadem made by the hand of God himself. It's the stars, the sun, and the moon crowned his regal head. Why would he want to wear? And as we noted, the crown that he wore the first time was so fitting, wasn't it? A crown of thorns. The second Adam, the last Adam came and wore the thorns that were due to us. The pain, the suffering, the sorrow. That's why he came the first time. Tell old daughter of Zion, go to Zechariah 9. This is where this was recorded from. Zechariah 9. Tell the daughter of Zion. Tell my people. That's who this is good news to. This is the good news of the gospel that they'll rejoice in. Zechariah 9. Tell the daughter of Zion. Verse 9. Rejoice. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. What does Paul keep telling his people? Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. And Paul wrote that when he was in prison. He said, you know what he said about that? He said, I'm the Lord's prisoner. That's how he could say that. That's how he knew God put me here. It's the worst place. He was beaten with many stripes. In pain and agony and suffering, he and Silas in a jail cell in darkness. No, they weren't in darkness. The jailer was in darkness. They're in light. Sad and downcast? No, they started singing, praying unto the God that put them there. And he put joy and rejoicing in their heart in the midst of their worst suffering. Knowing, believing, taking comfort and joy in the fact that God put them there. It was for his purpose. And oh, what a purpose. We have the Bible from that. This is written for our sake. Paul knew that. Oh my, tell them to rejoice, O daughter of Zion. I know you feel like, I know you're in pain. I know you're in suffering. I know you're in bondage. I know you're sad. I know you're grieving. I know you're hurting. I know it. I was that way. Tell them. Tell, shout. Now he said, you remember the story of Jehoshaphat and the people and the enemies were surrounding them and they were all, they said, we're at our wits' end. Us and our children. That's why we come. We all come to sit here. And they say, like Jehoshaphat, our eyes look to thee. We have no help but thee. God sent a young preacher. And said, the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. You'll not fight this day. Stand still. Same message of Moses. Same message of David. Same message everywhere. Same message of our Lord. Rejoice. And I didn't mean to stay there. But shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. You know, their victory came, Jehoshaphat, their victory came when they all started singing. When they all started rejoicing. I read Psalm 51 for my own sake. I was downcast. And David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then I'll tell sinners the gospel and they'll be converted unto me. Why art thou downcast within me, O my soul? Hope in God. I'll yet praise him for the help of my countenance. Rejoice, shout. And like Paul and Silas, whose chains fell off and the gates flew wide open. He tells us, O daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. O wild ass's colt, unto thee. Me? Yes, you. Who's that? Sinners. This is a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Tell them that. Shout, sinners. Thy king cometh to thee. He's just. Oh my, David said, he that ruleth over men. And I quote this to myself all the time. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. Oh, what a just ruler we have. What a just king. He's called the Just One. The Just One. And he that ruleth must be just. Well, he is. He's righteous. That's what that means. He's the Just One. He's the only one whereby we may be justified from all things, from which we could not be justified by the law. And he has salvation. Look at it. Verse 9. He has salvation. It's in his hands. Having salvation, it's his. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, that he should give eternal life to as many as God has given him. You don't let Jesus save. That's another Jesus. You see? He has salvation. Hebrews 2 says, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. But not now. He's not that way now. But look at it. Verse 9, he says, he is just and having salvation, lowly. And the gospel says, meek. Meek and lowly. Riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Meek and lowly. Why did the Lord come like this? Why did he come like this? Why did Scripture say that the Christ would come this way? That the King of glory, God's King, would come this way? Why? Well, and you know, earthly kings don't come this way, do they? Earthly kings. Our Lord said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, he would have come like earthly kings do. You know, if Bonnie Prince Charlie is ever crowned king, or William, or whoever it may be, there'll be great pomp and show such as the world has never seen. We saw something of it at the marriage of Charles and his wife, which didn't last, and neither will their kingdom. And he's just a figurehead. If Andrew is ever, Charles is ever made king, he's no king. He'll reign over anybody. Just a figurehead. He has no real power at all. Parliament can shut him down. But not this king. All power, he says, given unto me of heaven and earth. Everything. Everyone does my bidding. Principalities and power. Rulers of the darkness do my bidding. I speak, and things are done. I say go, they go. I say come, they come. I say jump, they jump. I say live, they live. I say die, they die. I say justify, they're justified. Aren't you glad we got a king? Earthly kings are born in palaces, not he, born in a stable. Earthly kings are dressed in silk and put in a golden crib when they're born, not he. He was dressed in swaddling clothes, rags, and put in a manger. That is, a place where sheep eat, like food. Earthly kings are surrounded by nobility. Everyone that's anybody surrounds earthly king, not him. Poor shepherds, lowly maidens, carpenters, sheep lowing. Cattle lowing. Earthly kings grow up in castles. Not this one. He had no place to lay his head. Earthly kings ride into town on golden carriages pulled by six white horses. Not this one. Comes on a donkey. Earthly kings are high and lofty. He's meek and lowly. Why? Why? Because he came to suffer death. Because he came, as the gospel says, tell the poor that the poorest of the poor came to preach the gospel to. Are you down? Are you lowly? He more. He more. You suffer? He more. So when he tells you to be of good cheer, he's telling you from experience. Telling you from experience. Tell him, the lowest of the low. He made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant. Humbled himself. Made himself low. And he said this one time to his disciples and us. He said, take my yoke upon you. Be yoked to me. Yoke to one another. Believer. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you'll find rest for your soul. His name means rest. Meek and lowly. None meeker. None more lowly. And when we say meek, it's not weak. Meek means submissive. Submissive to the Father's will. Submissive to all the troubles, all the enemies, all the trials, all the pain, all the suffering, all the grief, everything that the Father sent His way, which we must abide. Meek means submissive. Meek means subservient. One who serves another. One who lives to serve another's cause. Isn't that why Christ came? To serve His Father. To live a life that was honorable to God as a man, which no man had done. And God was well pleased. This meek and lowly man, subservient, serving His cause, and serving His brethren. Serving His brethren. He lived for every day of every hour. He loved His brethren as He loved Himself. Meek. It doesn't mean weak. Moses was meeker than any man on earth, our Lord said. But that doesn't mean meek. Because when our Lord stood before His enemies and before their enemies, He said, if you seek them, seek me, let them go. And no one could stand. And Moses went in before even Pharaoh and said, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Oh, and far from weak, but meek. And our Lord, as Hebrews I quoted to you, says that He came for the suffering of death. No one really understood then when He came, not even His disciples. They thought that He would come as an earthly king. They thought. And they kept asking Him, is it now that you will restore unto us the kingdom? Is it now that you'll rebuild Jerusalem and you'll sit on the throne and we'll have this? That's not why I came, He said. Have I been so long time with you? He didn't come as an example, though He was. He didn't come as an earthly king, though He is. Daniel says that the kings of the earthly, the kingdoms of men, God giveth them to whomsoever He will. Jesus Christ always has reigned. He reigned when He was on this earth. Everyone did His bidding, down to His tormentors and His murderers. They did His bidding. He was ruling while He was on the cross. And He always has, and He always will rule. But He didn't come the first time as an earthly king. He didn't come to try to save. He came to deliver His captive. He came to not to ask anything, but to make an announcement. And this is the gospel. And this is what we're reading here. And this is what our Lord kept telling His disciples. I am come that you might have life. I am come that your sins might be put away. I am come to be made sin. Talk about lowly. And meek. This was the thing that He dreaded more than anything and sweat blood in the garden facing the thought of being separated from God. If He's not separated, we will be. If He's not made sin, we'll bear ours. He's the sin bearer. This is why He came like this. Meek and lowly. The King has come. Tell my people I'm here. I'm come to seek and to save. Who is this that cometh from Bozra in garments dyed red? Him that is mighty to save. He's come to take His people captive, and it's not like we think it is. It's not like we see it. He came to pay their sin debt as being a substitute to hang on the cross. He must be despised and rejected. That's what we deserve. We don't deserve to come into town on a white horse. We didn't deserve to be run out of town. We don't deserve to live. We deserve to die. Well, He became us, He said. And He was not disobedient to that. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross for thy people. He came to loose his people from this world. His kingdom's not in this world. To show them that all that we see, all that glitters is not gold at all. That beauty is not outward. That this world is no beauty in it at all. Nothing but it's a vile place. That there's a kingdom that Christ came to set up in the hearts of His people. There's a spiritual kingdom. There's a spiritual people. There's a spiritual land. There's a new heaven and a new earth that awaits His people. That is what I'm come to tell you about. To give you eyes that you might see. To give you a single eye so you'll turn away your eyes from vanity and behold the truth. Christ said, that's the truth. He says, I'm the truth. I can't lie. I'm the way to that place. I am the life and I am the truth. So help me God. This is not my words, He said. This is the words of my Father that sent me. There's a kingdom, all right. You can't see it. And I'm the King and I'm come to bring you to it. This is no fairy tale. No cunningly devised fable. Peter said, we've beheld His majesty. He peeled back His veil one day. We saw Him as He is. But He wore this meek and lowly covering. That's what we wear. That's what we wear. Made in the likeness of sin. But He had to come this way, you see? He had to come this way. He's a substitute. The covenant head. He's the second Adam. He's the man that lives for men. And bless God, God's pleased for His righteousness. Well, let me close with this. In our text it says that when He came into town riding that donkey, it says the disciples took off their clothes and put them on this ass. There's so many things here, but you know, when an old wild colt comes in here to hear the gospel, we hope and pray that the Lord will clothe them with the same clothing He clothed us with. We want them to know and feel like we did, the joy, and hear the message that this is for sinners. This is for sinners. We want them to be clothed with the same. Where did disciples get their clothes? The Lord provided them. The king's daughter. See, she's dressed in the king's robe that he made. And they'll give you the shirt off their back too. When God's people come into the fold, won't they? They'll give you the shirt off their back. Christ did. It's exactly what He said. I gave my back even for this matter. And well, they brought Him into town, and you know what the purpose of God's people are, like this wild ass? You know what the purpose of us? You know what we serve, the purpose that we serve? To hold Him up. To hold Him up. To lift Him up. This wild ass, who never good for anything, that would have been destroyed, sent to the knackers. Nobody could ride Him. Christ did. And lo and behold, He has the glorious honor and privilege as a chosen one of the Lord Himself. Could have chosen any wild colt, any donkey. There's a million of them out there. He chose this one. And He has the glorious privilege and honor of holding up, of setting forth, of glorifying and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Why didn't the Lord come into town on a white horse? Because nobody in that town said. Not one single person in that town when He came riding in said, would you look at that donkey? Everybody there said, Hosanna to the King. Look at the one. Look at Him. And in glory, nobody's going to say, you're not going to say. And I'd love to see Martin Luther. I love that man. I'd love to see, we're going to see him, I believe, Moses, David. Oh, I'd love to talk to David. But now, hold on. Nobody there is going to say, look, there's Moses. No, no. We're all going to say, look, there's him, the Lamb that was slain. That's him. That's the one. That's why I'm here. This wild ass is cold. That's why I'm here, because of him. He chose me. That's why. But the whole multitude went before him crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he. That means, oh, save. Oh, save. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The multitude did. Everybody did. Now, don't let this fool you. Because every one of them, except his disciples, just a little while later, in a few more days, every single one of them said, kill him. Crucify him. He's not our king. Because they thought he's going to give us an earthly kingdom. That's it. We don't need saving from our sins. His people do. And they know that's why he came the first time. But and they said, who is this? Verse 10. Who is this? And the multitude said, everybody. There was a division because of him. You see that? Everybody had something to say. Many opinions. Turn with me to Revelation 6. Revelation 6, and I close with this. Revelation 6. There were many opinions among the multitude. Said every one of them had an opinion, had something to say. Who is this? And there has always been a division because of him. There's always been a division. Some say he's this. Some say he's Elijah. Some say he's John the Baptist. They said, I know who he is. He's the carpenter's son. I know he's Mary's son. You know, millions say that. This is Mary's son. And some of them said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the prophet. The prophet. A prophet. A prophet of Galilee. See, he didn't look like a king the first time he came. Meek and lowly. And the Lord had to give you eyes. The Lord had to give his disciples eyes to see who he really was, to see his glory. Everybody didn't see that. They couldn't see through that veil, like the reading of the Old Testament. But God reveals that to his people, who he really is. He's not just a man. And why he came as meek and lowly. But he's not coming back the second time that way. And there won't be any doubt when he comes back the next time in anybody's eyes, who he really is. It says we're going to see him as he is. It says all flesh shall behold him whom they've pierced. It said like the lightning that strikes from the east to the west, every eye shall behold him. Not meek and lowly, but as he is, high and lifted up. Like Isaiah saw him by faith. Like James and John and Peter saw him on that mountain. And like every one of his people see him by faith. Look at Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. And I saw, first thing, the Lamb. That's how you see him, as the Lamb, your substitute. He opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw John, his beloved, his chosen. I saw, and behold, a white horse. And him, he that sat on him had a bow. You remember that in Psalm 45, Dirk? You remember that? The king's arrows are sharp in the heart. He had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. Not an earthly crown, a scepter of righteousness. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. You see, he came the first time, meek, lowly, to be made sin for us, his people. To make that sacrifice for sin. As a man, for men. To please God. To please, and he did. God's well pleased for his righteousness. And after he was buried and rose again, and the Lord God said, sat him down on the right hand of the majesty on high, and said, sit thou at my right hand till I make your foes your footstool. And he said, in the fullness of time, I'm going to send him again. I'm going to send you again. You're not going to set feet on this vile place. You're not going to sit on a two-bit throne in Jerusalem. He's already got one. And he's going to come like Joshua You know why the story of Joshua is in the Old Testament? You know what Joshua means? Jesus, Savior. Like Joshua, he went through and he conquered every city and took what was his. And here and there he'd find a few, like Rahab. And he sent word, go. Joshua didn't go in there till after it was destroyed. He said, you go get Rahab and all her house that's under that scarlet line and bring them home to me. And that's where she is today. And he's coming to receive unto himself. And all his people are coming with him. All his wild asses, colts, are coming with him. He said, I'll never leave you. And they're coming back for that glorious day when Christ comes to take back his people, back to the Father, back to his kingdom. All right, let's sing in closing, number 42. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let every angel's prostrate fall. Number 42.
Let's all stand.